Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant collaboration of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we are here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim, from bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of the wonderful memoir, The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of four major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the founding sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile and amphibian supplier in the world from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man who still runs it. Renowned as the international leader in UVB and heat lighting, ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools in the U.S., which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. We're also sponsored by Oxbow Animal Health, the one brand that has stood out for more than 30 years as the leader in health and wellness for small mammals. Veterinarians, rescues, and passionate pet parents worldwide trust Oxbow to support the health and happiness of their small pets. Oxbow provides for rabbits and guinea pigs, ferrets and chinchillas, hamsters and gerbils, mice and rats, because these small pets have big hearts and require special nutrition and care. Oxbow has everything needed for their best life, the right hay and nutritionally complete foods, treats and supplements, litter and bedding, and a whole line of enrichment products created so your little loved ones can chew, play, hide, and explore every day. We're also brought to you by the bird food specialist Zoopreme, which started with a revolutionary yet simple idea: provide exceptional diets for extraordinary animals. Best known as the bird nutrition specialist, Zoopreme creates many foods for birds of all sizes, and they also make a variety of treats to appeal to every sort of bird and enhance their lives. Dr. Micah is here to talk about traveling with your exotics, something that probably you would only do in a very serious situation, like you're taking your exotic to college with you or you're moving completely. You probably don't go on vacation with them, but if for some reason you do, you'd need to prepare yourself and the environment that they're going to be traveling in. Dr. Micah, do you sort of recommend against traveling with exotics, or is that a little harsh?
I think it's a little bit harsh. I definitely think that there are good rhymes and reasons to do it, and certainly there are needs. And so it's never really for me a matter of don't do it. It's
right.
A matter of, for me, of how do you prepare for it, right? It can't be suddenly like, hey, we're going to leave in 15 minutes and go on a 3-day road trip, hop in the car, buddy the bunny, and we'll just roll with it. Like, that's where you get into trouble. But
right. With
the right preparation, the right mindset, and frankly, even kind of what I refer to as practice,
yes.
they can do really, really, really well. But it really does start with kind of those specific things of what do you prepare for? Number one, what is the type of carrier or enclosure that we're going to be using that works well for the animal and natural behavior? Certainly for small birds, we may want to perch. For rabbits, we may want to control airflow. We want to give them bedding and things to hide in. If we're talking about ferrets or sugar gliders, maybe they need a little, fleece pouch that they can hide in.
Wow.
How are we going to eliminate their bladder if they need to go? So it's just all of those species-specific factors that we want to think about, make preparations for. And then again, we don't want the first time a rabbit sees this carrier, the first time you shove them in it to hop in a road trip, right? This should be things and materials and habitats and enclosures that they're used to, that they've been in before, to minimize that stress.
And that they have a positive association with. They've slept in it, they've eaten in it, they've played in it.
You bet.
You've hung out with them. So there are for dogs and cats, for small dogs and cats anyway, there's a choice between a hard-sided, more like an airplane-style carrier that has the cage door in front, and some kind of grated windows high up. Or there's the soft-sided ones, which come in many iterations that have like mesh doors and windows that often have sort of like a blind that can come down to close it off if it's too scary that they see everything. But then again, a soft-sided one doesn't have a firm bottom. And then how would you have those different parts of the habitat that you spoke about, like a place to pee and a place to hide? What do you recommend? Are there cages that are specifically good for traveling with exotics?
You know, there's not a lot of like truly built just for exotic cages, but the good thing is that most of your small crates and carriers made for small dogs and cats can really, really work well. It's a matter of adapting them. You know, like if you have a small bird, you know, you might consider putting a perch in there because a bird's more comfortable sitting on a perch that's right. attached to the side of the cage than just the floor. You know, if you have a sugar glider, like I alluded earlier, you may want to hang a zippered pouch or a fleece pouch inside the cage, something they can crawl into. So it just really depends a lot on the animal. Now, I don't very often recommend, you know, the cardboard carriers or even the fleece or soft carriers, because what do these animals do when they're stressed? They very likely they're going to feel like they need to escape. And, you know, when you have a rabbit who is super stressed out, you know, they can tear through one of those cloth carriers a heck of a lot faster than we think they can.
Yeah.
So I always recommend something that's more hard-sided. You can even consider using plastic Rubbermaid style containers, but I prefer something that has a locking door and is more built around that specific approach. And then it's a matter of size. You know, I want something that minimally, and a lot of this depends on, you know, again, the length of the trip, right? A 10-minute trip to the vet is completely different than a 2-day road trip across the U.S., but I want something that they can get up and turn around and stand up and really be able to stretch out, not run laps, obviously, but physically be able to stretch out their body inside that habitat.
But if you had a big back of an SUV and you could flatten out the seats and you could have something bigger, would bigger be worse? Would it be have too much space and not feel sort of controlled or comforting enough? Would they be kind of lost in it? Should smaller be better in that case?
Yeah, again, a lot of it depends on the animal. Some animals do better with more space. Some animals do better with less space. And that's where we really kind of come full circle to say, this isn't about any generalized, perfect, consistent recommendation. It's about trying different things
right.
and seeing what works with your animal. Now, you can certainly, you know, narrow the scope a little bit, right? Like, we don't need a 4-foot by 8-foot cage for a sugar glider.
Right.
But we want to be thoughtful that in general, space is advantageous, but we got to experiment. We got to see what works well for them.
It sounds like the advantage of more space is to include more elements, like a place to hide and forage in, like, you know, a hidey hole, and
right.
or for the guy that wants to get into a hanging soft-sided thing, or to have a little litter pan in there. I mean, Dr. Elsie's
yeah.
makes disposable little litter pans for vet hospitals, and I suppose that would
yep.
be very good for travel also, because it's made to be discarded. Otherwise, how do you get the right size thing, and how do you keep it from sliding around in there? And is there a problem having a litter box in a cage that also has other elements in it? Would it put the animal off to have the litter so close to their sleeping accommodations?
Yeah, the key there is that I want to try to control or minimize the number of variables that are different. So if I can use the same water bottle they use at home,
perfect.
If I can use the same litter box they use at home, perfect. If I can
right.
use the same feed bowl for feeding, perfect. There are so many variables that I, again, can't control. I want to make dang sure I control all of those that I can. And so that's why I really, really start with trying to do that as best I can.
Which is to use things they're familiar with.
Correct.
It feels the same, it smells the same, and is more comfortable for them. I understand that there are some carriers, like professional shippers, that will ship exotics of the reptile nature, I don't know about a small mammal nature, across long distances, not involving airplanes. Do you believe, or do you are familiar with any of those companies? And is that an okay thing to do, or should you pay somebody's uncle to drive your, I don't know, your gecko or your cockatiel
yeah.
to wherever you're going?
You know, there's definitely different pay-to-play type environments where, you know, you can hire somebody to ship an animal and stuff like that. And by all means, what you have to really do is stop and say, you know, what's the length of travel? And am I set up for the travel? You know, all of those factors should come in play. I always recommend the best place for an animal to be is with its owner. They know their voice. Oh. They know their sound. They know their behaviors. And so, I mean, certainly, are there situations where you may need to, you know, work with somebody? Possibly. But in general, my goal is to always try to get these guys to stay with mom and dad, because there are so many factors of mom and dad that just make these animals inevitably more comfortable.
Oh, that's so sweet. I didn't think you were going to say that. I thought you were going to say, well, they're probably better off at home. But do you believe that, too? I mean, there are pet sitters who can come in and do all the things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Sorry, I might have misunderstood your question. Yeah, I thought you meant hiring somebody to transport the pet.
I did. I meant to move them if you physically wanted to fly.
Yeah.
You couldn't fly with that exotic for the variety of reasons. Could you, you know, is it okay to pay a professional shipper that does exotics? But there is the question of why do you need to take them on your 3-day road trip?
Yeah. Well, and I think that is such an important thing to talk about, because the number one happy, healthiest, less stressful place for them to be is at home. And that is their entire world, right?
Yeah.
That is their entire ecosystem. So without a doubt, and you know, what a lot of owners don't realize is that it's not always ridiculously expensive. You know, you can find somebody local that you trust. They may even have some background. And then you leave in a position where they know your animal, they know your home. And if stuff were to happen, you've already communicated to your vet.
They know your vet.
They know where their vet is. And they can immediately get the munchkin there if that needs to happen.
Yeah, good luck. You're on the road and the stress of travel. And now the rabbit, let's say, is not drinking like he usually does. And then you get the famous gastrointestinal stasis. Now you have a rabbit who's in physical discomfort and maybe jeopardy, and you got to find a veterinarian who understands rabbits along the way. Good luck on that. It's just probably not going to happen unless you want to go right to Nebraska, where Dr. Micah is, which is probably not your end destination, depending on where you're starting from. I guess that, through Rover.com, there are a couple of companies that started out as kind of a neighborhood watch of each other's pets, and they've developed into pretty great apps. And I actually looked into one recently, and it was kind of amazing. They showed pictures of the people that were available, the kinds of animals they were comfortable with, whether they'd sleep over or just come various times during the day. It's affordable. Well, they have make it affordable is what the market will bear. They obviously would like to get hired, and they realize that there's a point at which it would be absurd. It might be as little as $10, $15, $20 a visit, and maybe two times a day is plenty. And it keeps the animal happier, and then you're not dealing with the stress of now you've gotten to a hotel or a motel and you can't take the animal in, or you try to sneak them in. And
exactly.
I think that, you know, unless you're actually moving as a permanent move, probably the less travel with your exotics, the better, and they will thank you for it, is my guess.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly, without a doubt. And, you know, one thing I also think it's important to remember, too, you know, recognize the difference between winter travel and summer travel.
Right.
You know, and those can have big factors, because some of these guys do fine with cold weather. Some of these guys don't really do that well with cold weather. And so really be thoughtful regarding either warm your car up ahead of time or cool your car ahead of time. You know, don't place the carrier in direct sunlight. Make sure it's in a well-ventilated area. You know, if you've got reptiles, obviously cold-blooded, you know, let's warm up a hand warmer or a warm water bottle that can be placed inside of their cage. Not that we want to burn them, clearly, but just something that can help them maintain their body heat, because that's not something they can regulate necessarily on their own. So just some other factors that are really associated with time of year that are important to keep in mind as well.
Not to mention the fact that if you need to have a pee break or a food break, you can't leave them in the car. I mean, that's the problem.
Right.
People think, I'll just be gone 5 minutes. Folks, nothing takes 5 minutes. 20 minutes in a car, even with so-called the windows cracked, in direct sun, you are going to bake and broil your critters. And that includes dogs and
that's
cats. So the car is a dangerous place for animals unless you're driving with the conditioning or the warmth on, and you're there to monitor the whole time. So it's not something to do lightly. And if you're on your motorcycle, forget it. That's all I can say. I've seen pictures of people with their animals in their backpack. That is just goofy. That's not even funny. Don't do that.
That's asking for trouble.
It sure is. Exactly. I mean, travel if you must, but best yet would be to find a very nice pet sitter, and then you all get reunited joyfully at the end. Thank you, Dr. Micah.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of your day.
Dr. Doug Mader and I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets and our desire to educate and inspire you to give your exotics their best possible life. This show is brought to you by the wonderful companies that cater to the needs of exotic pets. From Zubed Laboratories, where they make everything you need to keep your reptiles and amphibians in tip-top shape, to Oxbow Animal Health, with health and wellness solutions for small mammals, and Zupreme, the company dedicated to your bird's nutrition. And if you haven't read Dr. Doug's book, The Vet at Noah's Ark, yet, do yourself a favor and pick up a copy.